Welcome to our brand new episode of the internet's most hated mafia-themed geek podcast, Lone Coat Mafia Podcast. It is I, the Reverend Godfather, the show's main host and frontman. We continue our series of episodes gotten from Nerd Squat / Main Street Comic Con with another panel episode. This time it is Becoming Your Character, featuring Carmen, Brandy, and Kay from the Fantastical Vanity. That's right, you're going to hear these lovely ladies talk about becoming your cosplay character, whether it's personality, wigs, makeup, you know, how to prep for everything, and how sometimes kids react to these characters, and separating personal life with the cosplay life. So it was a very interesting panel. It's one of the longer panels, or I should say it was the longest panel that was held at this event. So I'm going to just kind of move on down to the kind of the disclaimers in regards to everything. And the first one is, this is their panel, their presentation. They allowed us to, or I should say, they allowed me or the show to record this panel. So we thank them very much. So that's that. So the next part is, if you don't like what they say or have to offer in regards to tips, tricks, and what have you, we would love to hear your opinion on that matter. So you take everything up with us here at the show, not them. And that being said, if you want to take things up with us, you could do so by sending us an email at longcoatmafia@gmail.com or leaving a comment on our pinned post on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/ The Long Coat Mafia Podcast, and we'll take the heat so they don't have to. I'm not saying that they can't, just that this is our show. We're more than willing to take the heat instead of them. Now, the other thing I want to go into is, again, because this episode might be somebody's first episode ever. So let me just say this. None of this episode was boosted in any way, shape, or form. A lot of what was coming in, you could hear fine, even though some of the audience questions came in a little low. It was kind of, it wouldn't be prudent to kind of boost anything because, well, unlike the bigger cons or even 4State for that matter, it was way bigger than some of the rooms that we've been in for panels. That's number one. Number two, or I should say much higher. The ceiling was much higher, so therefore the sound kind of dissipated a lot. So it was kind of hard to mic the room. That's number one. Number two, how the shop that the panels were being presented in kind of set things up, didn't really set them up in a traditional convention setup, meaning that for those of you who've been to a convention, you kind of know what I'm talking about. For those who never been to a convention, those few of you that might be listening, a atypical convention panel is in done in a small conference room or a somewhat decent size, not an overly big ballroom, but a room that's not overly big and it still has decent sized ceilings, where there's an atypical 6 foot or 6 foot table with several chairs, or a 2 6-foot tables put together so people can sit down and talk, and there's usually a place for the mics. This wasn't like that where in regards to that. And where these lovely ladies were sitting was part of a raised platform near a bay window. So that was, and this bay window was not like windows that you might have at home, which are insulated. These were thin storefront panel windows. So you're going to hear some traffic from outside, and not to mention the room where these panels were being held were was open, so you're going to hear people from the store, in essence, that was attached to this room. So, again, you're going to hear a lot of background noise in regards to this. So, boosting any type of questions or comments from the audience, including a comment or two from myself, is not really worth it because, well, you're just boosting somebody in the background saying, can I get a cup of coffee for, you know, my friend, or can I get a soda from the, you know, your cooler, that sort of thing. So we didn't really boost, but for the most part, the sound came okay. You're going to hear a lot from these gals, so I'm going to stop right here and let the gals take over in regards to cosplay.
Hello, everyone. So, I'm Cara, this is Brandy, and this is Kay, and we are the Fantastical Vanity. So, Brandy and I are the owners, and Kay is our manager. I one day was like, hey, Brandy, do you want to do something really cool with me? And she was like, maybe. So we were sitting in the waiting room at our dance studio, and I was like, listen, this is what we're doing. We are going to start a princess company here in Franklin County, because I used to work for somebody, and I was like, we can do this closer to home, and there's nobody else here who does it. So that is how the Fantastical Vanity came to be. We started in November 2018, and now here we are. We offer anything from heroes and villains to princesses. We have Harry Potter characters, we have Hocus Pocus, you name it, we can do it. We do birthday parties and we do public events just like today. We have done events for our local library, we've done it for local movie theaters, for local churches. Again, you name it, we have done it. So the difference between being a party princess and just dressing up like we are right now is I would not have introduced myself as Cara. It would have gone something like, hi, I'm Catwoman. And she would have been Poison Ivy, and she would have been Black Canary. Or, my favorite is, I'm Anna, and this is my sister Elsa. We love warm hugs. Do you guys like chocolate? We do.
Hope you have a man.
So, the Princess Party business, just a little background on this industry. It is based on looks that were created by Disney, obviously, and that are seen in the Disney parks. But the Princess Party industry is a way of bringing that Disney magic to small towns across America and giving kids who wouldn't necessarily have an opportunity to make it to Disney because of where they're located or financial reasons, they can have a little bit of that Disney magic right where they are.
That's okay, I haven't either.
You know why? I play soccer. I mean, I've been around the world, it's not Disney.
And there's Disney's around the world, so.
I know.
So, to clarify, before we get sued by the mouse, we are not Disney. We are not associated with Disney, but we are allowed by Disney with the understanding that we promote the Disney brand for them. So my personal background actually did start in cosplay. I had been doing cosplay all through high school and all through college, and then had a couple kids, started a professional job, and really kind of got out of it as an interest. And then, like Cara mentioned, she kind of like shanghaied me in the waiting room and told me, hey, we're starting a business, and here we are. But having that background in cosplay helps me to really be able to see the difference between doing cosplay and between doing a princess performance, which is one of the things that we were asked to talk about today during this panel. So, as Cara mentioned, the difference when you're performing is that you actually do become that character. So, when you introduce yourself, you're Elsa, you're Anna, you're Ariel, or whoever you actually are that day. Which means you can't break that fourth wall for kids by commenting on the different aspects of your appearance. More than once, I've had a parents come in and ask, oh, where did you get your wig? And the difference between cosplay and princess performing, as a cosplayer, I would, you know, be writing down the link for where I got it, and I would be talking through all of the steps of styling it. As a princess performer, it really is, what wig? This is my natural hair.
Or my your favorite hair doesn't is, look like she's this? A teacher at our local middle school, Miss Brandy! And I'm like, I don't know who Miss Brandy is, but I'm really good friends with Elsa here.
Yes.
I'm not gonna lie, that's a fantastic hair.
Thank you, it's my own. Just kidding. But it's similarly with costumes. When people ask, oh, where did you get that costume? What costume are you talking about? These are just my clothes. This is what I wear every day.
The fairy godmother made this for me.
Or yes, the fairy godmother, or the mice, or the birds, or whoever it is that actually made that costume. And the same thing with makeup. Like, oh, like, who did your makeup? This isn't makeup, this is how I wake up every day. I'm a princess. So there's just that little bit of you can't break the fourth wall for kids. And maintaining character no matter what happens. And we've all had like some crazy shenanigans that have happened during a party. The one that comes to mind for me is when I was attacked with a birthday cake while I was Ariel. There was a small child that just had a handful of cake and she's just petting me and really digging it into that wig. And the teacher and the mom in me wanted to come out at her and just really like lay in up. We do not attack people with birthday cake. But that is not a way that Ariel would have reacted. So it was all about kind of maintaining that character and that poise of, I'm a mermaid. This is so fun. I love being attacked with birthday cake. And one of the things that really does help with maintaining that character is the physical appearance. And I don't think Kara would mind me saying, but Kay is like our expert in the look. Yeah. So I'm gonna transition to Kay to talk about one of the things that she is a goddess at, which is makeup. Like, zoom in on this face. Like,
so,
she's cute.
So I started out actually with drawing when I was really little, and I taught myself how to draw. And when you have an artistic eye in general, that helps a lot. So inspiration, honestly, the internet is really helpful. If you're going for a comic book character, if you have old comic books, look at the comic book pictures. You just want to try and get as close as possible to that character. It can be kind of hard because that's a, like, animated character or like a drawn character, and you're a 2D person, like you are real life, so it's hard to transition to that.
I think we spent a year teaching Brandy how to like make herself look like a cartoon.
So, and it still needs work.
I give her credit all the time. She does not give herself enough credit. She has come a long way from just like, I'm gonna say it, you're probably gonna get offended, pedestrian mom with two kids.
Just being like, okay, I'm Elsa.
Just like,
I'm 10 years older than both of them, so I learned how to do makeup in the 90s. It's changed a lot.
I mean, you've come a long way. You can do eyebrows now, and I'm very proud of that. And that's kind of like one of those things. You just need a picture, something to reference off of. And that's a lot with, what was I going to say? Products will come into play with that too. So trying to make a animated character onto your face is really hard with certain products. So you don't want to be trying to contour super heavy, like shaping out your face super heavy just because it's an animated character. There's a fine line between anime, so like a traditional like Japanese like anime character that's kind of crazy and insane looking, and say Black Canary, who is very subtle. A lot of products I like to use are powder-based products. They're easier to blend, in my opinion. A lot of people don't think they are. There's cream-based products that people like to use, but those can get really, really heavy if you're not careful. And that was something I think we had to have a talk with you a lot, because again, trying to teach somebody who is willing to learn how to do their makeup for a character is great, except when they don't have the right products.
Well, like the company I used to work for, I was in charge of like teaching everybody how to do their makeup properly to become that princess. So what I do is I send them a picture of the park's princesses. So Kay is our Snow White. So I go, Kay, this is what they do in the parks. This is how the mouse wants it done. So take this and use it as your inspiration. Don't make it word for word, but go off of it. And then once they're comfortable with that, they can make it however they want. Like my Rapunzel is very much so my Rapunzel.
Yes. Brandy's Elsa is very much like her Elsa. Like there might be things that you'd be like, oh, I can see things from like the parks and stuff like that. But again, you want to take that and make it your base, make it your own. How to make that stuff last all day is really interesting.
There's sometimes we have parties from sunup to sundown.
Yes. And sometimes you have to go from one character to the other. Like you have to go from Rapunzel to Elsa in an hour.
So something that helps with trying to make, especially with like costume changes and stuff like that, if you've got a costume change and you're trying to do something like from, say, Elsa to Rapunzel or vice versa, is find colors and like their eyeshadows and stuff like that are similar. Do that with your eyeshadow and then it kind of helps you because then you don't have to change your face completely. The issue is if you're trying to go from Rapunzel to Elsa is Rapunzel has freckles, so you have to cover them up a little bit.
Because Elsa also has freckles, but they're not as freckles!
Yeah, like, I'm going to take this pencil and stab it all over my face because freckles.
Which is what I do.
I have freckles on today, but it's only because my makeup's smeared and it was easier to put freckles on over it than it was to wash it off.
But it's cute, though. But, like, making that stuff last all day comes into face hygiene. So a lot of people don't understand that takes a big part of keeping your makeup fresh and lasting because you will sweat through it. You need to have a good face wash routine and care routine so that your makeup can go on smoothly and stay on all day. Setting sprays. I know there's a lot of people that old tricks, I'm going to say this, it's going to be really weird, old drag queen tricks, like spraying your face with a really strong hairspray works. If you want to do that, make sure that you are really washing your face really good.
And don't spray it this close to your face because it hurts.
Hold your breath too.
There's a lot of personal experience coming out here.
There's a lot of personal
experience. We also used to dance, so like hairspray is what keeps it on under the stage lights.
Like competitively dancing, yeah, so that was a big help, but that plays a big part into it. One of my favorite looks that I've done is Snow White because it's my chance to be really cute and adorable, and I absolutely love it. I get to just like blot a bunch of blush all over my face and across my nose and look so bashful.
Can you hit us with the Snow White voice?
Oh, a little bit of the Snow White voice. She's very soft. She's very quiet. She's very high-pitched. And she likes to sing with her birds. So it's a lot. But that's my favorite look.
Oh, wait.
So.
Can you also do the Merida voice?
Oh, the Merida voice? Okay.
While we're doing voices.
It's been a little bit. Oh, I'll say your kid's favorite thing. I did a live and I had to read a book as Merida. His wee little booties. I got a cute little wee little booties. I got a bear. He's got a cute little bear.
That makes me laugh.
Every time.
You know, I fed my mom a bear. I fed my mom a tot and it just turned into a bear. Almost.
So you are by far like our makeup experts.
Yeah.
And you two together are kind of our wig people. Kara, you want to talk a little bit about like the wig process?
Right. So wigs take a lot of wine. Right. Gonna be very, very honest with that.
Wigs and wine.
So when we first started, I wanted to do this as cheaply but as accurate as we could because I was a dance teacher. You don't really make that much. So I looked and studied, and I have a really good friend who actually owns a wig styling business who gave me a bunch of pointers on how to style wigs. And actually the very first wig I ever styled for the vanity was her Elsa wig. I was very, very proud of that. If it's not done right, it does indeed look like George Washington.
Yeah, it does.
It really does. You never realize how spoiled you are with an expensive wig until you have to wear the George Washington wig.
Yeah.
So it is so important that you have a good wig for these characters. Mm-hmm. Like, if you have, say you're Elsa and you are blonde and you just braid your hair to look like Elsa. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, when that kid sees you in public the next day after you just did their birthday party, and you just so happen to have left your hair braided, they're like, oh my gosh, it's Elsa, you were at my birthday party, and you're just trying to, like, buy groceries or get coffee, and you're like, no, don't know Elsa.
Or if you're doing that with your hair at one party,
yes,
and then another child at that party hires Elsa, and you're not available for that one, and you're sending out a different performer,
it
doesn't work without
wigs. It gets very, very, very confusing. Like, at one point, I could do Rapunzel when she got her hair all cut off. I did it for pictures. Once. Because I was like, no, if these kids see me outside of parties like that, they'll be like, oh my gosh, it's Rapunzel. No, it's just Miss Cara. And no, Miss Cara just likes purple eyeshadow all the time. So, that's huge. A professionally styled wig can go anywhere from $100 to $600.
And more,
depending on who you are. Like, my Rapunzel wig, I would have to say, caps off at 100. My personal Rapunzel wig that I made for myself. I have two different braids that go with that wig. So I have a 5-foot braid that when I stand up, comes to here. It is about 5 pounds.
Same bottom of guy.
Yeah, it is about 5 pounds. So I wear that on underneath a wig that's basically like a helmet. That, my personal braid also lights up, and when we do birthday parties with that wig, she will go with me, and she has a remote that when I start singing,
really cool.
It starts to glow.
Yeah.
That's freaking awesome.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
That is my proudest moment ever.
It makes kids really happy. It's awesome.
Yeah. So, that is my personal wig, and then it also has a smaller braid that we wear to bigger events, so, because when you wear the 5-pound braid for like an hour, it hurts a lot. So we have a smaller one, and that one's about
trip.
No, I actually, the last party I wore it to, a little kid asked me to climb a tree, and that's when you did Merida to my Rapunzel.
Mm-hmm.
And I climbed a tree in that wig.
Yes.
Now, getting out of the tree wasn't the most graceful thing I have ever done.
There's a little bit of a shimmy there.
There was. So that wig, all total, even with a smaller one, is about 100, I would maybe say even 115, but a professionally done Rapunzel wig is almost $800, thus why I don't have one. All of the wigs that I do for the vanity ourselves come off of Amazon. So I go and I find, say, like the Catwoman wig,
yes,
and the Supergirl wig, I just type in lace front in this color. Our lace front with bangs, and it comes up, and then I go and I look at the cartoon, and then I look at the parts, and then I look at what other companies have done.
Yeah.
And then I kind of mash that up and make it my own. So that's like what goes into a wig. And then I also do all the little accessories. So like, she has the leaves in her hair, but Rapunzel gets flowers, Elsa gets snowflakes. Cinderella's supposed to have like little gems to make it look like her hair is shiny, but I haven't done that. Tinkerbell, I'm supposed to put bells into, like things like that. To care for a wig, this is huge for me. So you don't just rip your wig off and call it a day. We're going to use Rapunzel again, because like this is like the wig that everybody would have a problem with. Takes two people. One person is the person who wears it, and then you have someone who puts it on you. So the person who wears it will sit there like this.
Yeah.
And then it's usually Kay and I, so I will sit on the ground like this.
And just like,
and Kay will take my small braid and put it on.
Yep. And
pull it down, and then I will go and assume the position again.
And then
she will put the helmet on top of that.
Yeah. And pin it in.
And then it comes off exactly the same way.
Yes.
So it goes helmet, and you don't put it away by yourself.
Yeah.
Somebody else helps you.
Because it's a heavy wig.
It goes helmet, and then Kay puts it away.
I bet it weighs at least 20 pounds.
Yeah.
Once it's all said and done, if I wear my braid, I'm sure it is. once I take it off, I go and try to get my neck to crack. My little braid, I just yeet that thing off of my head and it goes in a box.
And so it's, I hate to say it, but it's a trash wig. It's fine.
It is, but once I have it all styled and pretty, it looks beautiful.
Yeah. She trash.
So my favorite wig to style, I've done a lot of them.
Yeah.
I think there's only two wigs that I don't do anymore. I have a professionally styled aerial wig, which I don't touch, somebody else fixes. And then Brandy has a professionally done Elsa, which I might have to fix. We don't know yet.
It's accurate.
So Elsa is one of my least favorites to do because there is so much that goes into her.
All that volume on top.
You have to take it all apart, you have to unbraid it, you have to untease it, and then you wash that. I let Elsa wigs soak for about 30 minutes before I do anything with them.
Why do you let it soak in?
So when you wash a wig, when you give a wig a bath, you wash them in a really strong deep conditioner and then fabric softener. And then you just let them sit. The grosser the wig, the longer I let it sit. And then you wrap it up in a towel and you let it dry. Do not brush it wet. Not brush it wet. You will rip every single fiber out of that wig. My favorite wig would have to be Dorothy. So the Catwoman wig is actually Dorothy Gale's wig. Just unbraid it. It was literally like doing my own hair. I did half of it on my head, and then the rest of it I did on my head, wig head. That's my most favorite. And then the most pleasing to look at would have to be Rapunzel. Because once it's just all on and you're like...
She's very satisfying to see.
She is.
You are Rapunzel, literally.
So with wigs, I think I'm going to go over to you, Brandy.
All right. So I'm going to kind of finish up the look by talking about how kind of our business process for costuming. Obviously, you can get onto Etsy and you could buy a $600-$700 dress and it's going to look gorgeous and you're going to look exactly like that character. But at the end of the day, we're also running a business. So we have to look at how we can balance looking as good as we can as a character with what is actually going to help us to make money as a business. Because if we're buying all $600 dresses, we're just running a glorified cosplay business ourselves. We're not actually going to make anything out
Brandy
of it.
Brandy and I actually ask each other before we order anything new if we think we will make it back.
Yes.
That's what I say in my business in my filming equipment. Can I spend $3,000 on a camera and we'll make that back in a year?
Yes. So, and we do the exact same thing with characters. So if we get a request for a character, depending on who it is really depends on how much we're going to put into it, because we have to think, how much is that character going to get booked?
Yeah.
Now, do you buy most of your outfits or do you make them?
We do a little bit of a combination. So today's kind of a good example. We put together these looks just for Comic-Con.
Yes.
So we pieced this together with a lot of things that we had or things that we purchased. And I would say these are all like 50 or less.
So mine, except for my belt, my shoes, the mask, and my wig, all came from Amazon. So the gloves and the bodysuit. And then,
if you wear a Tony, that's like $200.
And then,
oh, that's the goal, though, right?
Kay's is literally all clothes she already owned.
These were gloves from a different character. These are Mal's gloves. And then this jacket, I bought special for it, also because I wanted the jacket because it was cute.
And then the wig is my Supergirl wig.
Supergirl's wig, but it works for Black Canary too.
And this is a green evening dress with clips of leaves stuck into there. But I've never had Poison Ivy book for a party.
Yeah.
People don't call up and be like, oh, you know what character I wanted the most at my six-year-old's party? I want Poison Ivy. So we're not going to put as much money into that look, as opposed to our characters who do book all of the time. So for example, Elsa is a high quality, but Elsa pays for herself in about a month because she books so much.
Do you guys have a character that you guys would book for more and you'll spend more money on that?
Yes. So Elsa, we have an upgraded version. Rapunzel is upgraded.
Anna.
All of those characters that are at birthday parties on a pretty much weekly basis. So, the other thing that we do is we do have some seamstresses that love us. and are willing to help us out. Mostly their mothers. Or their mother, mom. Their sisters, they have the same mother. I'm not sure why I put a plural on that. But we've had some awesome people have helped us out when there wasn't a costume we were able to find that we loved. And we knew we weren't going to be able to just piece it together from Goodwill items. So our Cinderella, for example, we really wanted that movie-accurate version with all of the sparkles, so we made that one.
I made Cinderella's evening gown in 2 days.
And then Snow White's, we also made that one from scratch, from material, because we couldn't find that that looked just like what we were looking for. And yeah, a lot of times as we add new characters, it's piecing together things that we do find at the Goodwill, things that we have in each other's closet.
Yeah.
Before we purchase things, we're sending out messages in a group chat of like, hey, who has a black corset? Who has black fingerless gloves? To see what we can put together.
And then another thing we use is you know how there's like Facebook Marketplace for like normal people things?
Yes.
There's actually a bunch of Facebook groups that sell gently used princess costumes.
Yes. Like I am. I do photography and videography. Here's a group on Facebook that sells like vintage photography. Mm-hmm. So
like her fancy Elsa wig actually came off of one of those groups. A lot of our upgraded costumes came from those groups. I say about like 5 costumes we've actually bought brand new.
Yeah, like I got that GoPro off Facebook Marketplace for like $50.
It really is, because there's such all those like little niche markets for whatever your interests might be.
Sometimes people don't even know what they have, and they're cheap.
Yeah, and sometimes in my case, I don't even know what I want until I see it there, and then I'm like, we're adding that character, because I have to
like
have that.
Like Pocahontas, I have her in pieces at my house.
Yeah.
We didn't know we needed Pocahontas,
have her dress,
and so we saw
and
Pocahontas.
I have her wig.
Yeah.
And the thing I like about Facebook Marketplace is, other than eBay, you can always just like go back and forth. Mm-hmm. I'll give you this. And sometimes they'll just cave. Go for it.
Yeah, everyone's trying to get that. They want that closet space back.
I think a good example of that is we got a very high quality Frozen, the first Frozen Anna.
Yes. Oh my god.
For like $50, but it also came with like a lower quality coronation Anna from the first movie. And like
honestly,
the person had no idea what they were selling us.
Honestly, what I see on Facebook Marketplace, people just want to get rid of stuff so they have room.
Yes.
So they'll sell it for like good cheap.
Just want the space.
Yeah.
But doing our costumes that way, not just going and automatically buying the expensive one through Disney, allows us to put some of our own spin on characters, which Kay's gonna take over and talk a little bit more about how we make these princesses our own in this business.
So one of the things to kind of help with making costumes, how I would put it more inclusive and our own, is the fact that there are a lot of companies that used to and still do kind of border and restrict height, weight, and skin tone, face shape, all
age.
These sorts of things. Age. Age is a big one, too.
Body
mods,
so like tattoos and piercings.
Tattoos, piercings, colored hair. If you have your natural hair is colored, that's a big proponent, too. But one of the biggest ones is weight, height, and age. So that's one of the things we try to combat against. We are a very open company when it comes to your weight, age, and face, because not all of us can be little Barbie dolls, not all of us can be like perfect faces, not all of us can be like 20. So, so I mean, it's one of those things. My Snow White, I am the business's personal Snow White. It is my favorite character to do. I love
Snow
White.
I'm gonna be
business
for a moment. The reason, one of the main reasons behind why the company was started is because the woman I used to work for told me that my little sister would never be a Disney princess because she was fat.
Yes.
My sister is one of the best performers we have.
Mm-hmm.
And
look at her.
In my defense, if you go back and look at some of our traditional princesses, like Snow White, our very first princess, she's not a stick. She is cute. She is pleasingly plump. That's what my grandfather used to tell me. So you don't have to have be on a certain spectrum to be a certain thing. So my Snow White, my sister-in-law and my big sister here, we stayed up like day and night making one because honestly, the reason why I didn't want to get an expensive one was because we'd be paying a lot out of pocket to get one that would fit me in my size.
So just like wigs could go from anywhere from $100 to like $800.
Yes.
A Snow White costume, no matter what size you are, is like $300.
Expensive because it's a lot of pieces.
Is it more expensive the bigger you are?
Sometimes.
Honestly, yes. So when it comes in, so if you are a plus size person and you're trying to get a certain costume, whether you are a male or female, it is usually more expensive because even for something stretchy, you're taking into account thread count, basically. So the amount of material they have to use for those measurements bumps the prices up, especially for princesses. And especially for like heroes and villains, it's just got to take into account for what the material is. And Snow White is a lot of velvet.
It's a lot of velvet. It's a lot of satin.
Satin.
I think there is a panel of silk on
silk,
it.
Like, yeah.
Once you have to do a higher number waistline and a bust line,
the
amount does go up.
And you also don't find those costumes secondhand because once someone gets a good plus size costume, they're holding on that thing for dear life. You're not going
to
find it
you're
being
taking
sold.
It to their grave. I would too. I would
take
it to my
grave. Buried in that costume.
So that's one of those things. If you want to try and hide your tattoos and stuff like that, that's easy. That's really simple. That's on you. We're a company where if you can hide it, depending on what character you are, awesome. If you can't and it's really hard, like I'm naturally ginger, I'm very pale, fair skinned, I have very sensitive skin and a lot of allergies and stuff like that, so trying to cover something like my tattoos is really hard because makeup on my arms makes me break out in really bad hives and it's gross and icky. So just stuff to take into account.
And all three of us have tattoos, so
yes,
they're really easily hidden today. So I have one on my wrist.
I have a ginormous one on my arm.
But I love on it.
Mm-hmm. We've all found kind of the workarounds for it.
For Rapunzel, I wear bracelets. For Anna, I wear bracelets.
Yes.
Excuses. Oh, Flynn gave them to me. Mm-hmm. Or I found them and Kristoff told me I could use them. Or my favorite is Elsa made them.
Yes. And I have, because we kind of have a similar tattoo, I have a swallow on my arm, so when I'm Snow White, it's a short sleeve costume. I just tell them that that's one of my birds that I keep with me.
Magic.
It's magic. Mm-hmm. So good things you can use. Magic is a thing. Companies create their own rules on it. Like I said, we're very open about our stuff. If it's stuff you can conceal, do it. If you can't, then make up a magic thing about it. Mm-hmm. It's a magic sticker.
That's a story.
Yeah. I was Peter Pan once, and I told a little kid that it was while I was undercover as a pirate on Hook's ship. So, like,
tattoos work.
Tattoos work. Pirates. Kids, pay attention to more of your demeanor and personality as a character, whether you are a princess or a superhero or anything like that. So when I am Snow White and I'm very soft-spoken and quiet, and it's just something that they like to hear. If you are very nice and upbeat all the time, they will love that, and they don't really see the costume that much.
Well, especially if you do enough here,
yes,
that they think you're the one from the park.
Yes.
They'll be like, I saw you when I went to Disney the last time.
Yes.
And you can be like, that's why you look so familiar to me. I knew you from somewhere.
Yeah, so it really does help with helping them believe more that you are that character, that princess.
They want to believe.
Yes.
So you just kind of push them into,
kind of like Santa Claus.
Yes.
They want to believe.
So
like, her daughter,
yes,
we did a pancake breakfast, and her daughter is like obsessed with me, and she goes, Mommy, that's not Queen Elsa. And her daughter was young enough still to like believe the Disney magic. And mm-hmm. Brandy goes, yeah, it is. What are you talking about? And she goes, no, that's Kara. That's not Queen Elsa.
Yes.
She already knows who you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So with that, I'm going to toss it back over to Kara.
So one of the biggest things in today's society is not whitewashing your princess.
So when we talk about like being inclusive and putting our own spin on it, we are not whitewashing.
Yes. So, for instance, Kay and I are actually Creek Indian.
Yes.
I'm the only one who actually looks like it.
Yes.
As you can see.
I have a layer of makeup on, but underneath of this, I am almost albino.
So, Pocahontas will be something our company will only do in the summertime when I can do her.
Because you have
until,
that heritage.
Because it is close to our family and we do have that heritage.
Yes.
And until we can find a princess of color who can do her. So I won't do Moana because I'm not a Pacific Islander.
Yes.
Just like Kay won't do Tiana.
No.
And we have people who request those things.
We do.
We've had requests for one of us to do Tiana. And we're not going to do that. That's not fair to the people of color who have those characters that are theirs.
Yes.
Like, so we put our own spin on things, but we're not spinning that so far.
So what do you guys do when you tell someone, I'm sorry, we're not going to do it?
We will check with our performers to see if they're available, and if they're not, we'll very respectfully, we'll offer you another character, or we can recommend a different company that you could try.
So you guys don't say no, you give them options?
Yes. We give them options, but at the same time, we're not going to cave and do something that we don't morally agree with.
I was supposed to do a party as Jasmine, and Jasmine is actually where I cross the line, because I don't look anything like Jasmine, even in the summertime when I'm fully embracing my Indian side and I am tan. Like, I look nothing like
that. And there are things you can do magically with makeup, but again,
not that much.
Yeah.
The color that I would have to change my skin to be Jasmine, I would have to go out and get on full on, spray tan.
That is expensive.
It is.
And inappropriate.
Really, really inappropriate. So, we do draw the line at that. There are companies that do the Rodgers and Hammerstein Cinderella, which was Brandy, which was an amazing movie, in my own little corner, and Whitney Houston was the fairy godmother.
Yes, oh my goodness.
So, there are companies that do that. Always love you.
Catwoman. Yep, that's me.
And then who's
that?
So, when we are becoming our character, I'm not going to use today's character for me as an example because
my son and my job so well. I'm sorry about that, but he had a whip.
So we're not going to use today's characters as an example because these are our fun characters.
Yeah.
I'm going to use. Who's a good one?
For.
Character race.
Character? Ariel.
Ariel. So.
You got a question to ask you.
What?
Go ahead.
Where's Catboy?
Catboy? Is there a Catboy?
No.
There is a book series of Catboy. Yeah. Dogman and Catboy. Yeah. Catboy's not here today, though. But I know.
What is Ivy's statue?
Poison Ivy. Also knows someone who's a teacher.
So.
Yes, what else? What's your other question?
Where's Sophia?
Sophia, Sophia the First?
I'm a big fan of her.
She's in her palace doing all right.
Yep. She and with her magic amulet and all of the animals that she can talk to.
I have one person. When y'all done, I want a picture of y'all.
Of course.
Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm.
Of course.
Thank you.
Ariel,
character research.
I love that.
All right, character research. So, a good one is Ariel. You can, of course, go and watch videos of her in the park. But for me, I will watch the movie. And I tell anybody to watch the movie. And you can do this with any character. I just like Ariel because she's not Elsa. So you go and you watch the movie and you pick up her mannerisms. Like if I had a Diggle Hopper, right? And if you need to ask me what a Diggle Hopper is, we can't be friends. Specifically, it's always this side of your head. All right? Can you take it? Okay. So you study the mannerisms, you study the quirks, you study everything that goes into that. And I don't tell any one of our performers to go and watch, say, a video of me being a character. Because if I'm going to be Ariel, Brandy's going to do it completely different. If Brandy's going to be Ariel, Kay does it completely different.
I do it completely different,
We all find the parts of the personality that we connect with.
Yeah.
Like me, it's kind of the ditzier side of her.
Yep.
I just got legs and I don't know how to use them. Or the homeless taking indoors. So I also use that and I study her voice. So Kay kind of did the run from Snow White. I watch Poor Unfortunate Souls when Ursula's like, now sing. And I do that a few times in my bathroom while I'm getting ready. So I'll go, I will do that literally 5 times. In my bathroom until somebody yells at me and tells me to stop. I also do that with every other character I do. Because So, Anna, I will drink 5 shots of espresso. Because Anna's a lot of
manic energy. Manic energy.
Right? I do the same thing with Rapunzel, but not as much. And then I will sit in the bathroom while I'm doing makeup again, and I'll be like, it's crazy. We finish each other's sandwiches. And I change my voice to go with her. That's goes with research and getting into character. And then sometimes while I'm doing my makeup, Kay will be sitting there talking to me, and I'll have her talk to me like that character. So she'll ask me a question like, Rapunzel, what are you doing? I'll be like, oh, I'm getting ready to go see Flynn. Like, we're going on an adventure. Like,
because how's Pascal?
Pascal's great. He has to stay back at the palace because he's kind of really tiny and people like to step on him by accident. And that goes into my favorite character. My all-time favorite character to play is Rapunzel. Because I really like identify with her. My boyfriend is also my Flynn Rider. Like, if you so watch cute. Us interact with each other when we're not in costume, that is actually how our relationship is. Another favorite of mine is Tinkerbell, because if we are a group, Brandy's our Wendy and Kay again is our Peter Pan. I don't talk. There's actually bells in my costume and I just jingle.
It's great. I love when she doesn't talk.
So with that, Brandy?
I have a very similar routine for getting into character, only mine really does include looking at a lot of the Disney parks. We're a Disney family. We try to get there every year. My kids are obsessed with it. I'm obsessed with it. My husband is begrudgingly goes along with it.
He had a Lion King birthday. He can't say that he doesn't love Disney.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I mean, and honestly, at this point, like, Disney trips are business write-offs for me because I'm going there for character research. So
we're
I will go.
We're trying to plan it so that we can go.
I
want to
go for business.
So I will go. I will wait in that 2-hour long line to meet Elsa. And then when I meet Elsa, I will be like awkwardly up in her face, like looking at her makeup, looking at how her wig is done, asking her questions to see those mannerisms. And I find that just really helps me.
She's not joking. I've gotten pictures close up of almost every person I have done, and she's like, yours is better.
Yeah. And honestly, Elsa is my favorite character to play. What's that? Oh, this is my friend Black Canary.
Yeah.
I got one question.
What's up?
Where's Snow White? The one that comes out of Princess Sophia's
Christmas. Oh, Snow White? Mm-hmm. Oh, she's back with the dwarves, baking apple pies and playing with her animals.
Because she always talks to Sophia.
She does.
They know so much about Jodie and Paul.
Oh, her rabbit is very, her rabbit loves blueberries, right? I remember seeing that. Yes.
Where's
Batman? Batman, you know what? I think he might be around here somewhere. I feel like I saw him outside at some point.
So. Better watch out.
I know, okay. I better watch out. We're not real big Batman fans here.
I love Batman.
I'm not a big Batman fan. But my favorite character really is Elsa. I connect with her because in real life, I can be... These girls hate Elsa, and it hurts
okay,
my
so,
heart.
A little background as to why I do not like being Elsa is because when I worked...
Just not let it go.
That's one of the reasons. When I worked for my original company, I was the designated Elsa.
Because you can sing.
Because I can sing, I'm the right build, I have the Elsa, like... And it's just a lot. She is very high maintenance. Take it from somebody who's worked on the costume. And the wig and perfected
a lot of
the makeup. Like,
first.
And then you have those dads at the party to go, sing a song! And you're not even Elsa.
You wanna go to
That's my favorite thing to ask her when I wanna.
And I mean, I really do. I like the character. I know she's a lot of work. These guys get stuck doing a lot of the work when I'm Elsa. But I love her and like
she's cute.
I don't care if Let It Go is like, what, at this point, 7, 8 years old. It is still my personal anthem. It is my like get pumped song, so.
And she's a really good Elsa. She honestly is a great Elsa.
Yeah.
She's an amazing Elsa.
Yeah, Kay, who's your favorite character to do?
My favorite, so it's a toss up, but I do, my favorite that like is up there is Snow White. My second favorite is Merida, of course, because I am a stubborn little ginger myself. So, favorite character, Snow White, when I'm trying to get into Snow White, because I am not as demure and subtle as she is. I am a very loud mouth individual. I am loud. I am out there.
To sum it up, your navy breath.
Yeah. So I.
So we got the mouth to go with it.
Yes. So my thing is to remind myself my etiquette, my princess etiquette, when I'm going to be Snow White. Because that is a big thing, especially for Snow White. She is the very first princess, so she is very, like, elegant and soft-spoken. I like to listen to the soundtrack from the movie because it gets me into the mood to be that. It makes me feel very whimsical and, like, magical. So, that's pretty much it.
To be all.
Not in Cinderella.
What's your question?
Where's Robin?
Robin? I'm also not a big fan of Robin.
Probably with Batman.
He's one of those good guys, so Robin and I don't get along very well.
You don't like T-Bangs?
Yeah, I don't like T-Bangs. Like, I'm not into those do-gooders.
Not behind you, fellas. That's your sauce.
The evil one. The one that the one that has the pro to it, and the one that always wants to steal Sophia's amulet. Where's
yes.
he at?
Hopefully in a dungeon somewhere.
You know a lot about Princess Sophia.
I do know a lot about Princess Sophia. Hopefully he's in a dungeon. Because nobody needs him or him around.
Maybe go on
All right, so I think we are probably getting close to wrapping up. So Kara, do you want to talk about how we turn this into a business? Like, how we make money doing this crazy stuff.
So, honestly, like Brandy said, her family's a big Disney family, and I was a big Disney kid growing up.
You are a
big kid. I am a big Disney kid now.
Disney Plus?
I do. No. And everybody bitches off of it.
All the time.
So, I really wanted to bring the joy that Disney brings us to everyone else. It can tie in my dance background, it can tie in my love of makeup, it can tie in singing. You guys ever seen the movie Step Brothers, the scene where they're like singing in the car? That was my childhood. My best friend's dad would make us sing in the car like that.
That movie is fantastic.
Yes. But
so many more things.
But think about like that from like Not Sweet Child of Mine, but like Supertramp songs and like Disney songs and like other like weird genres. Yeah, that was my childhood.
You guys didn't know it was Crash, did you?
Huh?
You guys didn't know it was
Crash. I drive for that reason most of the time. Yeah.
Yes. Well, because
this one can't be trusted to drive while in character.
I can't, because I get so much so into character that it's not funny. Like Anna, I'm always all over the place. So to be able to bring my love of all of that, especially like Hocus Pocus, Harry Potter. We did a big Hocus Pocus event last year. That was our
second one.
We are.
Yeah, we are.
Gotcha. ColourPop makeup is actually bringing out a whole Hocus Pocus line. So yeah, I was gonna send that to you last night. So stuff like that. Our Hocus Pocus event was one of my favorite things ever because it was literally just the three of us dressed. Basically, as the three of us being ourselves.
Oh, and the advertising for that was so much fun. The pictures that we did.
It was.
Like, running around. We literally were, like, tramping up and down the, like, Main Street just, like, in character. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. It was great.
That's how we would talk to each other.
We're those crazy people
children.
Downtown.
As male children.
I would see, I was Sarah, of course. I would see a guy walking down the street. I'd be like, and then she would walk by children, she'd be like,
"Child." That's cool.
Yeah,
it was great.
Something really inspirational for me through this whole like thing is I could be literally any character, and watching the joy it brings a small child is like the biggest inspiration to me ever. It makes me want
That's
to
beautiful.
Look into that next character, look and see what we can do to improve on what we already have, like fun little things that other companies wouldn't do. Like we have every single pajama set almost for the princesses, or we have roller skating princesses. Like that is so inspirational, and like to watch a little kid, it doesn't have to be a little girl, it could be a little boy even, just the joy it brings them, that is one of the most inspirational things to ever.
No, but we've definitely wanted to play with makeup for it. Yeah. We've talked about trying to do a
and the amount of times I will just run around her house singing the openings.
It is so
like,
true. Like, and grabbing my children.
Simba. They are, I want to do James so bad.
Yes. We need to find a Tarzan.
Yeah, it could be Tarzan.
For me, getting into... Oh, I'm sorry.
Rude. Elsa, over here.
I'm used to being the queen.
So we each have different responsibilities when it comes to the business. Brandy and I being owners, we take on a lot of that, but Kay's pretty awesome as well. My biggest responsibility, of course, is wig maintenance. Some of the costume maintenance, because I did personally make Cinderella, so like my mom and I are the only two people who like ever mess with that. And then my biggest one outside of the wigs is social media. So if it wasn't for me, the internet wouldn't know about us.
That is accurate.
I am the one who advertises for every single event we do. I advertise after we've done a party.
So how much is social media influencing?
A lot.
That's almost, I would say, 90% of our bookings.
Brandy gets the easy part, and she gets to take those lovely breaks from social media that everybody else gets to take. And then I sit there and I think about it. I'm like, man, I wish I could do this. But I can't.
So I'm assuming you guys have a website and a
Facebook. We do. We have a website, we have Facebook, and we have Instagram.
So we're the Fantastical Vanity. Google us, Facebook us, Instagram us.
Yeah.
And we'll be linked in this.
You will. I think that's it. Social media gives me a headache.
So that's why she does that part, because my business role is really like the more the accounting and the bookings.
So the way Brandy introduces us to like not caution people is she'll go, I'm the brains and I'm the magic.
And it's really true. She's the dreamer, I'm the realist, and that's how we make our business work.
See, I don't know how you guys tell social media. I post on my personal Facebook page once a week about my business, say hey, I have a photography business, get that video for weddings. I just post my Facebook link and my website, and I just promote.
So I try not to, on Facebook at least, I don't really care as much on Instagram, I try not to put our personal Facebooks because I don't want a little kid to be like scrolling through their parents' Facebook and be like, they're not in character.
So we try to keep it two separate worlds.
Well, I guess that's different because you don't know.
It is different with the performance aspect of it.
Yeah. Kay is too.
Yeah.
So that kind of is where Kay's responsibility comes into all of this. She is our set photographer. So most of the pictures that you see of us professionally done are actually her pictures, except for
if she's in them, then we have to hire someone else.
I take them, I edit them. She was Sally one time, and I was like, I'm gonna make it look like that scene where she fell out of the tower and all her limbs popped off. So I took her arm off.
I loved it.
Edited it into a different part of the picture and stuffed leaves into it. I was like, hey, look, you're Sally.
So awesome.
Yeah.
Before you guys wrap it up, one of the problems I find with cosplayers, not the cosplayers you all do want the job, but you were talking about being a character. Mm-hmm. And me doing with what I do as a podcaster, it's kind of tough. It's nice seeing you being Catwoman or you being, you know, Poison Ivy or Black Canary. It's when you're a character and I want to talk to you, it's like, listen, I want to talk to you.
Can you, can you break character so I can talk to the actual person?
Yeah.
What's different between us and a cosplayer is if you were talking to a cosplayer, they would totally talk to you like we're talking to you right now. If I was wearing any other costume but this, you would never get Kara.
Yeah, you can't break her. You can break me. Yeah, like, I will break.
Well, but you guys do
yes. Yes.
Well, because we have other, like I said, we have other costumes for everybody. Like, Kay and I have a Pokemon trainer, Rapunzel, and she has Pokemon trainer, Ursula. We thought about doing that, but, like, if you dress us up in anything remotely
like
Disney
if I'm
princess,
Snow,
we will still be that character.
Knowing how annoying it is, we still do it.
Even before this, if I knew you as your real person, and I saw you at a particular show, and you were in character, even if it's a passing Facebook friend, it's like, hey, yep. I want to say hi to yes. you. It's good to see you here. Please break character for at least
yes.
1 minute.
Just you once.
Know, just yeah. once. Yeah. Or if I think, if I mistake you for someone else that might look similar mm-hmm. or has cosplayed as yep. Poison Ivy, Black Canary, or mm-hmm. Catwoman, and if I'm mistaking you for somebody else that I might know, please break character and say,
yeah.
I'm not wrong. Because I've had that happen, someone dressed up as the character's name, Harley Quinn. I thought it was somebody else. I was in Facebook. As a cast, you know,
yeah.
one mini mm-hmm. cosplayers, I'm like, hey, are you? It's like, hey, I'm just here to, you know, are you so and so? Just want to say hi, I like your work. And all she kept doing was, no, I'm Harley Quinn. I'm like,
no, you're not.
Please, you know, great character, let
just
me know
a,
one
just
way
a little
or
nod.
Yeah. I acknowledge you.
I'm an adult, not an idiot. I know you're not.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
like, I well, love doing a character.
For Kay and I, the easy way for us not to be in character all the time is if you notice, Kay's nose rings are still in.
Yeah.
I have my septum pierced, but it's clipped up, and I still have my nose ring in right now. It all comes out
yeah.
when I'm
yeah.
a princess.
If they don't have their nose rings, then you're not breaking their character. Because
yeah.
if they took the time to take their nose rings out, they are in it to win it.
Yeah.
True.
But that's also the fun thing to see.
Yes.
You gals be in character during like a cosplay
mm-hmm.
at, let's say, a Baltimore Comic Con,
mm-hmm.
Awesome Con, or something like that, and be.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys gone down to Ocean City Con?
Mm-hmm. No, I haven't.
We did that last year. It was fantastic.
Fun.
Cool.
Yeah.
We've been talking about going to a con, but with
yeah.
my old dance schedule, it just literally never
But
went.
Now that we're both kind of like free, we could probably slip it
yeah,
in there somewhere.
First week of December.
Okay.
The first weekend of December. And Saturday, Sunday, and it's great.
Cool.
I'll have to check it out.
If you're thinking about staying down there, you can get a really good hotel for like 2 nights for like $250.
It's my con claim to fame is that I was at San Diego right before Twilight got big, and I met Robert Pattinson, and all I remember is he has incredibly poor hygiene and he smelled very bad.
Yeah. He's British.
So, thank you so much for having us. We've enjoyed
yeah.
talking
we
with you.
We had a fantastical time.
A fantastical time talking to you about cosplay, but then how our business.
Yeah.
So, thank you.
Welcome back, everybody. That was, once again, Carmen, Brandy, and Kay from the Fantastical Vanity and their panel, Becoming Your Character. I hope you all enjoyed it. If you have any questions, comments, or anything like that, again, we'll take the heat and pass any questions or comments to these lovely ladies. If you wish to do that, our email is longcoatmafia@gmail.com, and our Facebook page is facebook.com/... The Long Coat Mafia podcast, and we'll be happy to pass these questions and comments and so forth and so on to these lovely ladies. It was a wonderful panel to do. Again, I apologize for any of the sound issues. It was just a tough room to mic up, and the fact that you might have heard us trying to adjust the mics to the situation in this episode, so I do apologize for that. Their links for the Fantastical Vanity will be in the description down below, so that's taken care of. Now for the usual end show rhetoric, which is letting y'all know where to find us and how to contact the show. So, that being said, you may or may not be hearing us talk about Google Podcasts. So let me just explain this. I think it was last week or the week before we kind of declared we fixed our problem with Google Podcasts. And sure as hell, guess what? They done messed up. So we're going to kind of leave Google Podcasts off the list until we get concrete evidence that, well, they're not screwing up that much. So, either way, our social media is and how to contact is thus. Our email is longcoatmafia@gmail.com. Our Facebook page is facebook.com/ The Long Coat Mafia Podcast. Now, we also, if you wish to contact us or follow, while you're on our Facebook page before we go any further. Please hit that like button because despite us being around for 5+ years and having close to a little bit more than 450 followers on Facebook, there are still a few places out there when we try to contact them to either do an interview or get a press pass or something like that. We don't have enough followers in their eyes. We don't have that big of a social media influence for that. So if you choose to do so, please hit that like button on Facebook to kind of help us get into, increase that number and help us get into bigger and better places that kind of have that reputation that the number of followers you have is more important than the content that they might put out. So please do that. Also, while you're on Facebook and you smash that like button in regards to following us on Facebook, if you wish to send us a message again there on there, you could send us a message through Messenger or you can leave a comment in the pinned post that is there. It's whether it's for the current episode or not. As stated, we also have a Twitter account. Our Twitter handle is Lone Coat Mafia. We do have an Instagram. While you're on Twitter, hit that follow button. That way, when we post up anything, once we get internet back at the safe house, we'll start try to post more on our Facebook account and as well as Twitter and as well as our Instagram account. Our Instagram account handle is Lone Coat Mafia as well. So while you're there, hit that follow button and you'll see us usually, even though it's tied to our Facebook page, you'll see some exclusive content only on our Instagram account. So please follow us there, whether it's memes or photos from a convention or wherever we might be in regards to a show capacity or what have you. So please follow us there. Again, our Instagram handle is Lone Coat Mafia. What else? Our YouTube page. That's right. I had a little bit of rented lips syndrome. So our YouTube page is, well, you're going to have to search for the Lone Coat Mafia podcast. Please put in exactly what I said. The Lone Coat Mafia podcast in the search bar, and we are the only channel that comes up. It's the first one on the list. Smash that subscribe button. If you like any of the videos posted up there, hit that like button. And if you want, leave a comment there in regards to what you might see, because sometimes we put up exclusive content only on YouTube. We tend to do the same thing for Facebook in regards to videos, so that's why I do recommend not just subscribing to our YouTube channel, but subscribing to our Facebook, or I should say liking our Facebook page as well, because sometimes YouTube doesn't, you know, really like what we post up, because if we're at an event and there's music in the background, the nasty YouTube bots say, well, that belongs to somebody else, from what we hear, therefore we're going to copyright claim you or put a strike on your channel unless you remove that video or mute what's going on. So we tend to, you know, kind of to circumvent YouTube's moving goalpost syndrome, we tend to put videos similar to that only on our YouTube channel. Just for that reason, I should say on our Facebook page instead of our YouTube channel, and vice versa. YouTube doesn't really like the long-form content that we do. I should say Facebook doesn't like the long-form content we do, yet YouTube does. So if we do stuff that's short-form, we tend to put it on Facebook, and the long-form stuff we tend to put on YouTube, yet sometimes we kind of mix and match, so it's a crapshoot. What else? We normally say we got in the habit of, we have a Mixer channel, but Mixer is no longer a thing, but we do have a Twitch channel. It's twitch.tv/longcoatmafiapod, I think. All that stuff is, all our links are down in the description description down below in our when you go to our main page. And before we go to our main page, we do have a TikTok channel or TikTok page. It is LCM Pod. It's all pretty much lowercase. We have like four videos up right now, or four little things up. I'm planning on to do a few more for it. What else? We do have all our, now this is a good transition to the next part in regards to, that is, where do you get our show? Even though you might be listening to us on a major platform or two, and it might not be your platform of choice. So, that being said, you could find us on all our, let me say this before we say the outlets, all our links, again, are in the description down below, and can and are clickable on our website, which is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com. And yes, the URL does include the word the, and it's all the Long Coat Mafia is all together. There's no spaces, no underscores or anything like that, no dashes. It's just how it is. thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com. The website has all, you know, all our links where you could find us. Plus it has, if there's anything in regards to, the interviews, panels such as this one, it has any additional links to find those fine folks that we've interviewed or, featured as a panel or what have you. Plus you can listen to all our episodes going back all the way to the beginning. That's right. Way back to our kind of our cringeworthy first few episodes that didn't really have good theme music, or we tried our best with what we have. We've grown so much over the past 5 years or so. We are available if you're listening to us on, again, desktop or laptop computer, you could visit our website there, even though you could visit our website on a mobile device, but we'll get to that in a moment. Again, if you're on a laptop or a desktop computer, you can listen to us on our website, which is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com. You could download or stream, download our episodes and listen to them on your player of choice, whether it's iTunes or whatever player, like Windows Media Player or something like that. You could stream them off the site, or I think there's a few other options too. We're also available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Spotify, Amazon Music we're available on. Let's see, and that's it in regards to desktop, laptop. We are, if you prefer a mobile device, we are available on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, the Stitcher app, the Spotify app, the Amazon Music app. I think they have an app for that. But normally I'd also say Google Podcasts, but again, Google Podcasts is being kind of finicky right now. So we will, you know, kind of worry about that when we are able to. Maybe when we kind of, because we're getting back in the swing of things and with everything, if we could get Big Candy up for an episode, we'll kind of talk about our issues with Google Podcasts and how they've been kind of been very, very weird in regards to everything. So, in regards to that, let's see, what else? That's about it for now. We have one more panel episode to present to you from in regards to this series, and that is the works. It's the Art of Character Design with Fall Arts. I'm not sure her name, but that's her company name. But when we present that panel, we'll give her a proper name and along with her company name, and it's going to be one of those show things. I have to edit it and put together for all of you, so I hope you'll, again, enjoy this panel and enjoy the next panel. After that, we might do a, because we got a kind of a request in, a question. We might be doing another, even though we'll be going back to kind of the retrospective thing, kind of whole ordeal until we get some guests in and so forth and so on. I'll leave it for supplies. Just to let you know, it will be kind of like a retrospective, but we got a request in for it. So that's about it for this episode. I wish all of you a fine week, and please share the post that this is a part of on social media. That way we get more listens and more likes and so forth and so on. And I want to thank all of you for listening to this episode and making it this far. So take care, have a good week, and I will see you next week.
You've been listening to the Long Coat Mafia Podcast, the internet's most hated and mafia-themed geek podcast.